My name's Ali, and this is the Rus Files Unite podcast, where we watch Russian films and films with a Russian connection. As always, I am joined by a guest, and once again, I am joined by old podcast regular Lynn. Sorry to call you old.
That's okay. I feel old at the moment.
You're waving.
Yeah, I'm waving. It's an audio medium.
Yeah.
I guess that's why I shouldn't be waving. It's fine. Decadent Western capitalist Lynn. I got to your house and then you gave me cream in my coffee. It was very fancy.
Yes. Oh, well, only the best for the guests who can actually, you know, physically make it to the studio.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it took 10 minutes less to get here than usual because the road's open again.
Yes.
Again, thrilling podcast this.
Yes. Yes. Sometimes in Britain, the roads don't work.
That's true.
That is because not enough of the capitalist profits are ploughed into making the state run efficiently.
Yes. What are we doing here?
We're going to be watching a film. That's
okay,
normally
right.
What we do.
Yeah, it's good. Sounds good.
Yes. I feel like we need to beat around the bush before we introduce the film first. I mean,
okay.
You're a regular guest, but...
Yes. It's been a while since we recorded.
It has been a while.
It's been almost a year or something ridiculous.
Which is insane, considering how many episodes you've actually been on.
I know. It's crazy. Still, last time we were in my place, and the downstairs people were being noisy.
Yes.
It's silent here.
Which, as a listener, if you're a long-time listener, you will have noticed I expertly edited out, so that's probably fine.
Yeah. So I assume that your place is more decadent, because it's either better soundproofed, or your neighbours are quieter.
Yeah, it's definitely more decadent.
Okay.
So, film-wise, have you seen anything good since the last time you were on?
I feel like I've hardly seen it. That's not true. I went through a lot of, if anyone needs a recommendation to subscribe to BFI Player, you can subscribe for a month for free, which is what I did, and then...
If you're in the UK, obviously.
If you're in the UK. I don't know whether you can subscribe outside.
You might.
Anyway.
Write in, let us know.
Let us know.
Is BFI available? Because obviously Filmstruck, may it rest in peace.
But there's loads of great stuff on there.
Yeah, I have... It's kind of like, as soon as I can justify paying for this.
It's cheaper than Netflix.
Yes.
There's no TV series in there, though.
Like right, Netflix, right.
So you can't watch the entire back catalogue of Great British Bake Off for the third time. But you're trying to be a fine player.
Should you so desire.
Should you want to.
Yeah.
You need something to watch over dinner. What are you going to watch? Yeah, so I watched a lot of Cronenberg. That was mostly in my month of subscribing to it.
Oh, okay.
It was mostly Cronenberg back catalogue.
Okay, because I've not seen a ton. I mean, we did cover Eastern Promises. There we go. On this podcast.
One I've not seen, but did listen to the podcast about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you better have listened to that episode.
I did listen to that episode, but I've not seen the film. I think because it wasn't available in BFI Player.
Gotcha, right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's over 10 years old. It's now like a classic film, right? Isn't that how it works?
I'm pretty sure that's how it works. If you can still remember it after 10 years, it's probably a classic.
Yeah.
I remember going to the Pokemon movie.
Yeah, so
which was
by
almost 20 years, just made people very old. 18 years ago.
Yeah, so clearly by that
clearly it's
criteria.
Classic. I don't remember what happened though. Does that count? What did I see? Videodrome. That was good.
Oh, okay.
What else to say?
Because I haven't seen his early stuff. I've literally only seen
the one by the terrifying killer babies.
Brood.
The Brood. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was okay. Videodrome was great.
Okay.
Like, it's all nasty and violent, but, like, it's got a good, like, 80s vibe.
Gotcha.
I enjoyed.
Did you see Scanners? Because I've heard that's...
Yes. Also saw Scanners. Similar vibe to Videodrome. I felt like it made less sense somehow.
Okay.
Like, I felt like the plot of Videodrome propelled the film along. And
gotcha.
Scanners... It was just a little too convoluted.
Okay.
Who's this now? What's going on?
I've heard it splurgy.
Splurgy.
Yeah.
As
in people's heads go splurge.
Yeah, but that's like right near the start. And they like get it over with and then it's not like there's no violence the rest of the film, but like
okay.
The worst of it is like dealt with early on.
Gotcha. And so it's kind of like...
It's like Game of Thrones. It's like the first series is full of a lot more sex and violence than actually most of the rest of it is.
Oh, okay. Just to kind of like... either to hook the people who are kind of mainly there for that... And or get rid of all the people who are likely to be turned off from that. Yeah, seems like get the walkouts early out.
That's right.
Let's try that again. Let's get the walkouts out
Sadly,
no, it's not working any better.
my subscription expired. I should just pay Fiverr and get on with watching the rest of it. When I was like 20 minutes through Dead Ringers, okay. Which I heard is great.
Yes, Jeremy Irons, right?
Yeah, yes. So I need to sit down and watch that at some point.
Yeah, need to see more.
I'm trying to think what else I saw. Some Herzog.
Oh, okay. I've not seen any of his
like in
stuff.
A bit of Herzog.
Sorry, I'm really
have
burnished.
You not even seen the like, documentaries, like the more recent...
Yes.
Grizzly Man and...
Yes. Correct myself. Yes. Have seen Grizzly Man. Have also seen Cave of Forgotten Dreams.
Oh, I don't think I have seen Cave of Forgotten Dreams.
I saw it in the absolute non-ideal circumstances, i.e. on a plane.
Okay. Well, fair enough. I used to watch terrible films that I would otherwise feel guilty about wasting my time watching on planes. Paycheck, for instance. Mm. Was that with... The Island. That's another one I saw.
These
are all terrible films.
I saw it in the cinema, for my shame.
It's pretty terrible. It wasn't as bad as Paycheck. It makes you feel better.
Okay, yeah, don't know.
Is it Uma Thurman and Matt... No, not Matt Damon, the other one. Ben Affleck. Affleck and Uma Thurman in like a sci-fi...
Yeah, that one.
It's not good.
Totally went.
Right, so...
Some random
so
films.
So don't watch that when you could be watching... Cronenberg, I guess.
Yeah.
Or Herzog.
Yeah. It's quite a sad state of affairs, but most of the good films that I saw this year were on planes.
Okay, what have you seen that's good this year?
Yeah, so I saw Crazy Rich Asians.
Okay. How was that?
It was very fun. It kind of lived up to the
we should mention we're recording this right at the start of January 2019.
Yes.
So this is the 2018 retrospective episode.
Yes.
That you may not get until halfway through 2019, but that's okay.
Yeah. You may have spotted we're covering for the fact that we don't know anything about the film we're about to watch.
No,
so we
it's
will
got
introduce
a Herzogian title.
Yes.
Have you seen the one about ski jumping, the rapture of the herd of woodsmen or something like that?
No.
It's good. I think it might be in German, but it's good.
Fair.
Rainer Woodcrafter, he's got a crazy name. I'll have to look it up later. When it's about ski jumping.
Yeah. Not to be confused with that Hugh Jackman movie with... No, it was not. He was starring in the Eddie the Eagle movie from a couple of years ago.
Yes, I have also seen that.
Which, yeah, so have I. It's fun. What's that even called?
I think... Is it just called Eddie the Eagle?
Yeah, or Eddie. Or
just Eddie, maybe.
Yeah. Eddie Izzard.
Did that play well outside of the UK? Because I assume that no one outside the UK has heard of Eddie the Eagle.
I suspect not, but... Yeah.
Okay, right in. Let's
yes,
know. If you're not in the UK...
Eddie the Eagle.
Do you know who Eddie the Eagle is?
Yes. I also saw Black Klansman.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen that either.
It was very good. That was my first Spike Lee film, so...
Yeah, I'm not sure I've seen that Spike Lee film.
Yeah, sorry, we're really burnishing our cinephile credentials here, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Never mind.
Yes, that's good and makes me want to see more Spike Lee.
I realised it didn't come out last year, but I saw Thor Ragnarok, which made me... slightly less disillusioned about all the Marvel movies that I've just given up on keeping up with. I started trying to keep up with them, and then there was just too many and I couldn't care about them anymore. But Thor Ragnarok was great.
Yeah, I mean, I actually like all of the Thor movies. I mean, people say that Thor 2 is like one of the weakest of all of them, but...
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Weirdly, that's one of the strands that I have seen all of.
If you haven't seen his other films, which presumably you have, What We Do in the Shadows and The Hunt for the Wilder People, both of them are great.
I've seen very small bits and pieces of, what was it, the vampire one?
What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows. There we go. Yes. Recommendation. I think I remember seeing Chris Mead, Mutual Friend, recommending.
Hunt for the Wilder People is very good as well. What else? I'm trying to think of anything I saw in the cinema last year. Lady Bird, I guess, at the start of the year.
How was that? Yeah, I want to see
it. It was great. And I reckon that my parents, my mum loved it, my dad was bemused by it, which is what I suspected would happen.
Fair.
But yeah, I feel like I really haven't been to the cinema very much at all this last year, and that makes me sad. That's because I moved to a town that doesn't have a good cinema.
Yeah, I mean...
So don't do that, that's a recommendation for life.
Yes, live in a place where there's a good cinema.
Yes.
It's easy to get to. Yeah, whereas I live in Milton Keynes, which, you know, has cinema, but you have to have a... car, and we don't have a car at the moment.
That's
so.
True. I guess it must be big enough to show something interesting things.
Sometimes, but it's like a week and you miss it.
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
Oh well, at least we have the internet, I guess.
Yes.
This has made it a little bit easier.
Yes.
What's the film we're watching?
The film we are watching is Letter Never Sent, is one of the English titles.
Okay.
Another English title is The Unsent Letter, which is actually more accurate as a translation.
It's less poetic though, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It is a bit, like, pedantic.
So,
yeah, the Russian title is «Не отправленное письмо».
good. I think it sounds quite Herzogian because I looked up the screenshots on IMDb.
Oh, okay.
I don't know whether it is. Let's find out.
Yeah.
I don't know how old Werner Herzog was in 1960. Not old enough to be directing this film, probably.
Probably not. He's probably not even old enough that he would have been at film school, but he is very old. Sorry.
Hot take.
Hi, Werner Herzog. Yeah,
yeah. He's very old.
Hashtag film Twitter. What's your hottest film? Werner Herzog is old and yet still alive.
Yes.
Yes, I should say who directed this one, seeing as we're talking about who didn't direct it.
Okay. It's... Yeah, because it takes us a while to just narrow down the people that didn't.
That's how we're going to get to 8 hours.
Hiroshima Twinkie.
Should explain for listeners, before we started recording, we noticed we have 8 hours worth of recording time on the recording device at the moment, so we were joking about making this an 8-hour episode. Don't worry, we're not going to do
it. I think that's it. That's it. It tells you how big your SD card is. You've got to choose the right size SD card for your recording. So this one's too big, evidently.
Apparently, yeah.
Well, so I guess I have to go home at some point.
you'll be missed. Yeah,
I will eventually be missed after 8 hours, I imagine. Who directed it?
Mikhail Kalatozov.
Okay.
Second guessing my pronunciation, I was...
Yeah. Better than mine.
So, this is not his most famous movie. His most famous movie is The Cranes Are Flying.
Okay.
Which I think it won an award at Cannes.
Is it about cranes?
There are some cranes in it.
Okay. Probably. I was just trying to interpret how literal his titles were, as to whether Letter Never Sent is going to have any letters that are not sent in them, or whether it's just more of a metaphor.
I'm pretty sure there is a letter, and they're probably more intrinsic to the plot. I don't know. I know very little about this other than it's in Siberia and there's a disastrous fire at some point.
But, okay.
Yeah. It's some kind of expedition. But yeah, The Cranes Are Flying is very good. You should see that at some point.
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
But yes, so we should probably go away and watch the film, shouldn't we?
I'm looking forward to it. I don't really know anything about it. So it's in Siberia.
Oh, I can say a couple of cast notes.
Oh, yes, please.
So the female lead is Tatiana Samoilova, who was the lead in The Cranes Are Flying.
Okay.
So she's also in this. And also this features Vasily Livanov, who long-time listeners might remember the name because he was Soviet Sherlock.
So, oh, I didn't see that film. But I remember the episode. I do listen to these episodes.
So I'm like making it seem like there's this draconian regime where I just go around my friends' houses and
just
go,
test us.
Are you listening to that podcast?
I enjoyed the one about mermaids. Was there just one mermaid? Is a mermaid singular?
Yeah, and it was more of a figurative mermaid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. So yeah, we have Soviet Sherlock.
Okay.
But this is quite a long time, like nearly 20 years before he took on that role. So.
Okay, before Soviet Sherlock.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if
in 1960, were they not really open to Sherlock?
Apparently not. It was just too, like, reactionary. No, I don't know. It just wasn't. They hadn't got around to making it yet.
How reactionary was Sherlock?
Probably not very.
I don't know.
Listener, write in. How reactionary is Sherlock Holmes?
Contrast. It's like AS English topic or history topic or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we did a bit of Soviet history at school, but I don't remember ever having to do Sherlock comparisons.
Yeah.
Which is a missed trick.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like probably the criminals in each of the cases are at various different levels of the social spectrum. So it's not like Batman where he's like mainly beating up like poor street criminals. Hey, I'm a billionaire. I'm going to...
Yeah, I didn't really think till now, stupidly, how regressive Batman is.
Yeah, no, I can't really take credit for the insight. I remember watching a Have I Got News For You episode, and Reginald D. Hunter was like, oh, I hate Batman. And I'm like, why do you hate Batman so much? And so he explained.
That makes sense. I don't know, superheroes are kind of fashion. This is not a hot take, is it? This is the premise of Watchmen, a comic from I think the year I was born, probably.
And a dearly beloved movie.
And a movie. Sorry. The first 10 minutes of which, by which I mean the intro, is really good.
It's so long I can't remember, but I just know that everyone hates it.
So I'm being but the credit scene. The credit scene is great.
Okay, I will take your word for it.
What's the first 10 minutes of it?
So long ago.
And then just, you know, don't worry about it. Just read the comic, I guess.
I have read the comic. I read the comic before because I had a friend who was... I had a friend once, besides you. It was
just
nice.
Leave that story there.
Those heady days.
Oh, those days. When we were younger.
Yeah. I think we have to be careful, otherwise someone's going to break into Live and Let Die.
Live and Let Die. I can't remember any of the verses to Live and Let Die.
I think there was something about when you were young and your heart...
I never needed anyone.
Maybe.
Those days are gone.
That's a different thing.
That's a different thing. On a musical note, does this have anything to do with the song That Never Sent by R.E.M.?
No.
Okay, wanted to clarify that.
I mean, potentially they might have come across the title and go, that's an inspiring and enigmatic sounding title. Let's write a song about that.
Let's say, yes, that's what happened.
And then sing it into a bucket.
Sing into a bucket. And we should do an R.E.M. podcast. I'd like to do that. That'd be fun. Like and subscribe.
Remcast.
The Remcast. Surely someone's taken that title already.
Probably.
But yeah, any excuse to listen to some more R.E.M.
Yes.
So look for that soon in your regular pod catcher of choice.
I take it that's not a legally binding promise.
That's a legally binding promise, unless you edit out this episode. But if this appears on the internet, that's a legally binding promise.
Right.
That's how the internet works.
I guess we're doing an R.E.M. cast now.
Right, what are we doing? Watching this film. It's quite a short film, though, so we've got lots of time to like talk nonsense about it.
Yeah. So do you remember what we say at this point?
Yes.
Good.
I say with unfounded confidence.
Which is, calling your bluff now,
Paiekeli.
Excellent, you do listen to the podcast.
I do listen to the podcast. This is true.
Okay.
It's like... third or fourth on my list of podcasts.
Excellent. I was going to say, write in if you'd like to know Lynn's top three.
Do you want me to give you my top three?
Yeah,
no, I don't know.
No. Okay.
It's fine. I like to remain enigmatic.
Just notionally, you're like about fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I'm giving you more of a hard time than I should be about.
No, I'm enjoying it, it's fine.
Yeah. But anyway, because that's what Yuri Gagarin said when he blasted off into space. And this film came out a year before that happened.
I did read a book about Korolev, is that his name, last year? The rocket designer.
You know more about this than me.
It was really interesting.
Oh, okay.
Cool. The Russian space program, quite interesting, it turns out.
Yes.
That's my book review.
Hot
Also got it from the library. Use your local library.
Yes.
Yep.
So do those things. Okay. So, 3, 2, 1.
Paiekeli. I get some tea now.
Excellent. Just watched Mikhail Kalatozov's Letter Never Sent, unsent letter, the letter that didn't go where it was supposed to.
Yep. That one.
And before we talk about what we thought of it, over to Lynn for a quick summary of the plot, but this is potentially where we might have some spoilers, so if you don't want to know what happens, pause the podcast, go away. Watch the film. It's actually on YouTube, legally. Mosfilm handily uploaded it.
So you can watch it and not feel guilty about it for free.
Indeed.
So that's good. The subtitles seemed okay too.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a film in which not everyone dies.
Hooray!
That's pretty much a plot summary, but almost everyone does. So
when I said it was going to be a quick plot summary.
So there's four geologists. Well, three of them are definitely geologists. What's the other one? Like a guide?
I don't know.
It wasn't clear. In Siberia in the late 50s, and some geophysicists have said there's anomalies, which means there must be diamonds in them there plains? Or are they hills?
Forests. I don't know.
Forests.
Tiger, I think, maybe.
So they spend the whole summer faffing about and don't find any, and at the end they do find some.
At the end of the film, or at the
end? No, at the end of the season.
Right.
The summer geological season.
Yeah, just off to the point where they're kind of like, should we call it a year?
Yes. So then they have to get out, but then there's loads of forest fires, and almost everyone dies.
Yeah.
Yep.
By which...
That's the plot.
Yeah, by which we mean one out of four survives.
One out of four survives, and barely.
Yes. Yeah, we were pretty convinced at the last scene that he was a goner. Yeah.
He may well have been a goner, surely after the credits rolled.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah, that's it, really.
Yeah, that is pretty
That's just the plot.
Yes, and there's some interpersonal relationship intrigue.
There is a little bit, yeah. Mainly, so the two young geologists are kind of dating, and then the guide, Sergei.
Yep.
See the guide, he's lonely, and then kind of starts to make a sinister pass at Tanya.
Yes, so the party is three men, one woman.
Yes.
Hence. Well, not hence.
Constantin.
Not... Yep.
Who was writing the letter that is never sent.
And is the leader.
And is the lead geologist.
We won't tell you which one survived.
Tanya, who is the young female geologist. Alexei?
Not quite.
Oh, darn it.
Andrei,
who is the other young geologist. And Sergei, yes. Who is the guide.
Yes. And Andrei is kind of like the very nerdy scientist.
Yes.
That's his characterization. He is a big nerd.
He's a big nerd.
Also, he is Sherlock Holmes.
And the guy that plays Sherlock Holmes in a different film.
Yes. Yes, he isn't Sherlock Holmes in this film, but that actor. Yes.
So there is a letter that is never sent. So yes. That was pleasing. It wasn't just metaphorical.
Yes.
You see Constantine writing to his wife at various points in the film.
Yeah, his wife Vera.
Yeah. What else happens? It's basically like the first half is tense. About whether they're going to find diamonds and whether there's going to be sexual assault.
Yeah.
Which there's not.
No.
There's just sinisterness.
Yes.
Briefly.
Lots of creepy staring from Sergei. Yeah,
some creepy staring. And then... Oh, he does hit someone, so that's just some regular assault.
Oh, yeah. yeah, Sergei gets a little bit jealous, so he decides to crack Andrei on the jaw.
And then the last 40 minutes is just like a horror film where there's a lot of like music and people go through swamps and there's fires and there's snow and just like no one's going to survive. Oh, there's zombies. There could have been zombies, but there wasn't. No. Spoiler alert. Zombies.
No zombie spoiler alert.
Yeah.
If you're looking for zombies, this is not the film.
It's not the film for you.
Yes, but I see what you mean about it being horror film-esque, except the twist is that the monster is Mother Nature.
Inside us all along?
Maybe.
I don't know.
but it's mostly the elements are picking them off. Like, I thought for a bit, like, is there going to be a thing where Sergei is crazy and murders somebody?
Yeah, that seems to be what they're hinting at for about the first half hour. That's what's going to happen. And then... Yeah. It doesn't.
That is that his, well, not exactly fight, but like you say, the assault.
Yeah, it's over pretty quick.
Yeah, he cracks them on the jaw, but they're both carrying shotguns at the. And
it's yeah, like, but then they just walk off. Yeah, like, no one actually points a shotgun at anyone.
No, which is weird.
Yeah, I don't know whether that's like an of the time thing or like an intentional.
Yeah,
oh, we won't do this. We just keep hinting that it's going to turn into.
Yeah.
That kind of film that doesn't. So that was an interesting kind of choice, I guess. Yeah, like you say, the horror is really the surroundings, not other people so much. Yeah. The cinematography is very pretty.
Yeah.
It's very stark. and like contrasty, and I don't know how contrasty is.
Yeah, we should point out it's a movie in black and white.
Yes, it is.
It's sumptuous.
It's sumptuous. There's a lot when they're traveling. There's a lot of silhouettes of them and trees, and a lot of it's backlit. And yeah, it's really lovely. I don't actually know. I have no idea where they filmed it in Siberia, where they just filmed it in someone's garden in Moscow.
I think a former is probably more likely. Certainly on location. And this is a weird point, and probably just shows that I haven't seen that many films in the grand scheme of things, but I haven't seen too many black and white films that are shot this heavily on location in the wild like this, because, you know, it's a lot of the black and white movies I've seen have been Hollywood movies that are set mostly indoors. You might get some city shots,
like on the soundstage.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was cool. And
yeah, and if they did film bits of this on the soundstage, they pulled it off well.
Yeah,
because it all looked very much like they didn't.
Some cool angles.
Lots of Dutch angles, and that's the thing, right? When it's sideways and off, when it's off.
Yeah, I guess parallel. It's like not at right angles.
Not
at
right angles. Quite menacing. But again, a lot in the first half where there's a sort of air of menace, but nothing really happens.
Yeah, and then later on it's just kind of like the tension of, okay, how are we going to get out of this?
Yeah, it was interesting. I thought your comparison to The Revenant, which is not on tape, was good. It was an hour shorter than The Revenant.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I think did it a favour, even though sometimes it felt like quite a long 90 minutes.
Yeah, I haven't seen The Revenant, but from what I've heard of it, the idea is
you could have got away with that.
I'm just being honest with the listeners.
No, that's very, what's the word? Yeah, integral? You have integrity.
Yes.
Integral of it? That is
very. Yeah, no, I suspect not. Yeah. Yes.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, so I haven't seen that, but yeah, the sort of survival against pretty long odds. Well, not survival in most people's cases in this. Yeah.
What else to remind me of? We're talking earlier about Herzog. It wouldn't have surprised me hugely if it was a Herzog film, in the sense that it's very bleak.
Yeah.
And like the overwhelming power of nature.
Yeah.
And an unfeeling universe.
Yeah. Although it was kind of shot through with a slightly like, I mean, flag waving is way too strong a description, but still a certain amount of like, the film opens, for example, with a dedication to the Soviet people.
Oh yeah, I remember that, referencing the space race and various
So, and there's quite like, we're doing this for the country because we need to not just survive because it's our personal survival, it's so we can get the map to show where these diamonds are.
Yes.
And that's going to be very important.
I wasn't entirely sure why they needed the diamonds, but maybe I don't understand that much about industry. Was it for diamond sores or something, that kind of thing?
They didn't really explain. They explained that it was going to be very important for industry.
Yeah. Oh, I'll take the word for it.
Yeah, and they were going to build like Diamond City.
It's where Wario lives.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. that aspect of pop culture has just passed me by. Yeah, that Diamond City, it kept appearing in the subtitles as like Diamondburg, but yeah. I guess how that was them trying to creatively translate what the dialogue is. Almazograd. So Almaz is diamond in Russian, and grad is just like...
Oh, so it's more literally like Diamond City. It's just the sort of like...
Like Diamond Town.
Like a town name.
Yeah, exactly. Like, for example...
Leningrad or something.
Exactly. And like St. Petersburg, before it was Leningrad, it was Petrograd, yeah. You know, because being called St. Petersburg when you're fighting Germany in World War One, yeah, it's a bit too German sounding. That's literally why that changed. Anyway.
Like the royal family changed their name.
Yes. Yes. Saxe-Coburg. Yeah.
Anyway, diamonds.
Are forever. That's maybe, but...
I think you're thinking about like thermodynamics. Anyway, they have a higher energy than graphite, so I guess they're technically unstable.
Yeah, this is where I'll defer to your actual scientific knowledge. Cause...
it doesn't matter. The important thing is that, was it good?
That's the thing. I'm not sure that it was.
It wasn't bad. Like, I liked the tension. The setup was good.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. I feel like maybe I've been spoiled. Maybe in the 60s it would have been exciting. But it was a bit like, this setup's good. These people are interesting. There's, like, interesting conflicts. And then this kind of stops being interesting conflicts and everyone just dies.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I felt like, visually it's fantastic.
Hmm. Yes, agreed.
But, I mean, something about the storytelling was lacking a bit, and I'm really struggling to put my finger on what it was.
I think for me it just got to the point where I was, like, invested in these characters.
Hmm.
And then I kind of wanted... I think I was more interested in the relationships between them. And then it suddenly skips to the end of the season.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's just because after the first, like, 10 or 15 minutes, you have a certain amount of expectation about what it is, and you're like, oh, there's tensions between these people, and this is awkward, and this guy's lonely, and, like, he's not dealing with that well, and, like, are these other ones going to be okay, and are they going to find diamonds, and then suddenly it's like, oh, it's 3 months later, it's the end of the season, they find some diamonds, and now...
they're being picked off by nature.
And now they're being picked off by nature. So maybe that's, like, I don't know, is that a good twist? Maybe it is a good twist. That's not really how it feels, what's going down, but then at the same point, I just think maybe it was less interesting.
Yeah, it was strangely unsatisfying. But
yes,
it's interesting that what you said about, like, being invested in the characters. It took me a long time to get invested in the characters.
Well, I was just starting to get invested at the point at which they stop doing anything with the characters.
And they start being murdered by
And they just start being murdered by wilderness. Trees or whatever.
Oh, as far as tension is concerned, it does do a good job of, like, conveying just how hopeless being lost in Siberia would be.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Because of the vastness, they have all this stuff about, like, the raid.
It certainly makes it seem like it's pretty terrifying, but I'd imagine it was pretty terrifying. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and part of the thing is there are all these forest fires, so we're like, oh, light a fire so the plane can see you. Okay, no, that won't work.
Yeah, it's really good at, like, I don't know, if it's just a mood piece, I think it comes across a lot better, because it's good at conveying the mood, which is very bleak.
Yeah.
Or even a couple of other moods earlier on, like the tension and, like, even to an extent the, like, elation when they find diamonds and that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah.
But, I don't know.
I found, like, in terms of the mood, sometimes that was slightly sabotaged by the music. I feel like the music didn't... Actually, no. I don't want to make a blanket statement about the music. Some of the music was really good and effective. Other bits of it was just, like, this is a kind of, like, not, like, 40s, 50s, early 60s film of this time. It's dramatic. Blaring music, you know?
There was some blaring music. It started quite synthy.
Yeah.
Which you mentioned. I don't really know whether it was synths, I guess. It could have been early synths.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, at this point.
Or certainly more electronic-y. And those were kind of cool.
Yeah, those were kind of cool. Yeah, the only other kind of music cue that I didn't really get along with was that maybe at the very, very end when he kind of makes it and it's a little bit triumphant.
It
was probably fit at the moment, but it just seemed so unlikely that he was still alive.
Yes.
Like, had his body kind of floated down and then those guys found it and found the map, and you would have been like, oh, someone's found it, but then he's dead in the process.
Yeah, I think there was...
is he still alive? This seems unlikely.
Yeah, there was definitely some kind of, like, suspension of disbelief kind of issues once the snow set in. It was just like, no, you would both be dead, and, like, one of them does die because of the snow, but the other person who does survive to the end, you're kind of like, really, you would just be dead.
Have you watched How I Ended the Summer for this podcast yet?
I still haven't.
Not watched it? Okay. I'm going to try and deal without many spoilers.
Yeah.
But just there's elements of this that, like, reflect it.
And, you know,
in that kind of being out in the wilderness, and like, what is it like to sort of spend your days like
isolated
for like long periods?
Yeah, yeah, and away from the usual kind of things that you rely on.
Yeah, and there's a similar, I think, in that film, which I found more satisfying without trying to be spoilery and trail on your podcast, because you should do an episode about it, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Or particularly seeing as you mentioned it in the very first episode, and I still haven't got to it.
But that does a similarly like good job of kind of ratcheting up that kind of tension. Mm. And again, in some ways it doesn't... I think it pays it off better than Let an Ever Send does, but not necessarily in the ways that you'd expect again. But
okay. So keep listening, we'll get to it eventually.
We'll get to it eventually, yes.
Yeah, and I'm sure the Russian filmmakers growing up now, like Color Torzov is one of their kind of like go-to, this is somebody you need to know about.
Yeah.
Like, just because he's one of their big names, I guess. It is kind of like, I'd say my understanding is his like place in world cinema. I mean, I'm not qualified to talk about this, but he's kind of like just below the level of like, because everyone's heard of Tarkovsky and everyone's heard of Eisenstein. He's kind of like the next level down from that. He's like,
I mean, I can see why, and like, it certainly seems well crafted.
Yeah.
I just wish the second half wasn't quite so...
sort of drawn out, or...
Drawn out, that's the one.
Yeah, yeah. Because for a 90-minute film, it's... We did get to a point where it was kind of like, okay, how long is left now?
It's like the opposite of Andrei Rublev, where I just wanted to watch the last hour again, and I could do without watching the previous 2 hours. Mm. Where I felt like you didn't really get to know any of the characters in that film at all.
I mean, to an extent.
Now we're talking about a different film. But,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure I totally agree with you on about Andrei Rublev, but yeah. That kind of feels it's 3 hours, but it feels about the amount of time that it is, whereas this feels like it's about 2 hours.
Yeah, it just feels like it's... Yeah, it doesn't go on forever, but it does feel like it's a little bit longer than... It should be. I don't know. Maybe that's the point. I'm trying to give it the benefit of the doubt now.
Yeah, yeah. Because that absolutely, you're right. If it's trying to convey a horrible situation in some ways, you do want it to have like a...
I think it feels like because they don't really pay off the sort of interpersonal stuff.
No, because they just start murdering people. Yeah, well, not murdering, but...
Because they don't really pay off. They feel like, oh, it could have been like a 60-minute, like, long TV episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like, why bother setting up those personal...
Yeah, or like, yeah, some TV series where there's, you know, individual things like, I don't know, Black Mirror or something. I guess there's other older ones, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's got 60... Yeah, where they spend maybe less time... They spend a little bit of time setting that up, and then you still have the everyone gets murdered by nature thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess, though, if you totally took out the character development, it would feel... very, very flimsy.
It would. Or maybe he just cut down the... Maybe everyone could just die quite slightly sooner.
Yeah. I think I did read somewhere prior to watching this that it was kind of rushed to completion and it wasn't totally how he wanted it to be.
Okay, I can believe that.
Yeah, I mean, you could say in some ways it's more realistic in the sense of, like, you know, in life, not every, like, kind of... relationship gets a like neat payoff.
True.
But when you're storytelling, you kind of conventions exist for a reason, I guess.
Yeah, and it's not like I wanted everyone to have a happy ending necessarily, but it just feels like it just felt like a bit of a waste.
Yeah.
And it's not that it felt, if it's true that he didn't have enough time to do what he wants, it's not that it felt unfinished. It's just there were like threads within it that felt
underdeveloped.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Does this make you want to see more of his stuff, or is it kind of like, I'm not sure I'd like it based on this?
Yeah, I think there was enough stuff that was interesting here, and he seems to do a really good job of like setting things up.
Mm.
I'd like to see another one of his films where ideally stuff gets paid off better, perhaps.
Gotcha, yeah. And I would say that The Cranes Are Flying is that film. It has the same... like visual flair, but the characters, it pays off more, I would say.
And it's a beautiful, like you say, it's a beautiful film to watch.
Yes.
Be well up for more of that.
Yeah. Awesome. Great. I'm now just crowbarring random stuff in. shirtless propagandistic digging.
Yes. That was the most stereotypically Soviet Russian bit in my mind.
Yes.
So while they're digging for
diamonds,
yeah, they have a good shot where it's shot from just above ground level.
Yeah.
Pointing upwards at Sergei, who's quite buff.
Yeah. Swinging a pickaxe.
Swinging a pickaxe whilst topless in the sun.
Yeah. And it is kind of like, this seems very much like it would be out of an older Soviet propaganda film.
I can just see the poster.
Yeah.
Of a farmer or something digging in the sunshine, topless.
Yeah.
Tilling the soil. That's the thing people do, right?
Yeah.
And then it kind of pans out and then sort of everyone's doing it, but only Sergei is topless.
Yeah.
Although
there is that scene in the rain, which was super awkward.
Was it in the rain or was it just in a, like...
Or were they just in a boat?
I think they might just be in the boat or a stream or something.
Certainly there was some extreme wet t-shirtage.
It looked cold.
Well, that's going into way too much
detail. Now we're moving on from here.
Yes. The human form was appreciated by the camera.
Yes.
There wasn't very much of that, but there was just like those two.
Yeah,
slightly
it didn't
odd...
seem like super gratuitous.
No.
You know, and largely the camera seemed respectful of Tanya.
Yes.
Yes.
It was just that one.
It was
like...
just that one kind of scene seemed a little incongruous, but maybe we're just prudish Brits. That
maybe.
Seems likely.
Probably.
But yeah, the buff digging was.
Yeah, it felt slightly out of place.
It did, yeah, like you said, it felt like it came from sort of older,
yeah,
propagandistic time.
Yeah, and the fire digging also.
That was a kind of a weird flourish. And like, I sort of saw where I was going with it, but and it made more sense later in the film when they're trapped by a lot of forest fires. But then early on, at various points, there's like flames in front of the camera. Like between the camera and the action, where there doesn't actually appear to be any fire going on in the scene. I don't know whether it's meant to indicate like there is some tension, there might be a fire, it's hot. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Midsummer, well, Siberia tends to be associated with cold, but certain bits of it, because it's very big and it's very continental, in the summer it gets hot.
But it just, it seems
like they were randomly digging in some fire.
Yeah. Like, are they digging in some fire? Are they climbing, scrambling up this hill in some fire?
Yeah.
Probably not.
No.
So I thought that was a bit of a weird flourish, but I suppose it made more sense thematically when there is actually a load of fire.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, is it foreshadowing?
Yeah.
But yeah, the fire bits looked dangerous. I'm sure that there was a lot of health and safety going on that set, but there were elements of like...
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad I wasn't there in some of those fire scenes. They seemed quite deep into these burning trees and ducking underneath burning logs. And
actually, again, going back to the cinematography, was a thing that I quite liked about the having objects between the characters and the camera was done quite well.
Yeah, it definitely
well.
Felt like put in that situation quite well.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like there was much distance between the camera and the actors and the surroundings.
Yeah, there was even some bits which seemed like they must have been handheld, which I imagine must have been really difficult back with those heavy cameras.
Oh, I thought so, yeah, the early bits when they're sort of walking through the brush.
Yeah, kind of going in circles, which was a bit...
Yeah, weird. Kind of did seem like they were quite confined to where they could walk while the camera could still see them.
Yeah.
Because they did seem to be circling around the same bit.
Which, again, was one of those little details which made you kind of like...
Yeah, I feel like that was probably a technical restriction that they couldn't move the camera very far.
Yeah. I feel like we're being totally mean about this film, but...
Yeah, that's... I don't know. It seems a little unfair, because I don't want to like slag off everything about it, because there was lots of great stuff and great shots and some good acting and overall. But they just felt to me more like a mood piece than a kind of complete... I mean, there is a story, there is a plot running through it. Stuff happens, there is a beginning, middle, end, but I just felt like it kind of maybe didn't live up to the potential of its premise. I don't know. But maybe I'm missing the point.
No, I think I feel a very similar way.
But it was interesting to watch. Yeah, and I'd like to see more. And if this has piqued interest, it's only half an hour and it's available for free.
You mean an hour and a half?
Oh yeah, an hour and a half. If you put it on 3x speed, it's half an hour long.
Yeah, that would probably give it a slightly like comedic.
And then you can finish it and you can watch it and go, I don't know, maybe they packed in too much.
Yes. Oh, so this again, random details that I'm just crowbarring in. Stereotype defying. They set this up right at the beginning that they're going to like drink to their success, or if they don't find diamonds, they're going to drink to kind of commiserate.
Yes.
Whatever we'll be drinking is basically the line. Which, on the one hand, very stereotypically what you'd think of when you associate with Russia, alcoholism, which is so mean because, you know, Britain is not exactly like abstemious.
But also what you associate with Britain, so, you know.
That's true.
Something we have in common.
Yeah. But it's not vodka.
No, it's cognac.
Yes, and it's probably Armenian cognac or Armenian brandy, if you're being super pedantic, but they call it cognac.
This is pre-EU designated origin.
Yes. Well, they still call it cognac because...
Russia, the EU, not in the EU.
Yeah. And not likely to be anytime soon.
No.
So yes, so that's one of the little kind of like cultural details is...
Yes, they never made that assumption that was French just because...
Yeah, you know, because they say cognac. Because they say cognac. Because probably in the 60s, people aren't too bothered about following...
No, I just assumed that it was like a French drink.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Okay, that's interesting. It would have been Armenian.
Yeah, Armenia is famous, for at least in the Russia and former Soviet Union, for producing brandy.
Yeah.
Supposedly, Winston Churchill managed to get like a whole train carriage of Armenian brandy shipped back to Britain after he'd had some during the Yalta conference.
Nice.
Because, you know, obviously when you're having big high-ranking diplomatic people over, you give them the nice stuff, so...
I'm just imagining, like, most of Downing Street full of bottles of cognac.
Yeah. And, yeah, Winston Churchill blasting through it in about 3 weeks.
Yep. There you go.
On that note, I think we should end the podcast.
I'm kind of sad we don't have any Armenian cognac to end this episode now.
Yeah, that was a failing on my part.
That's okay. We will get on the internet, find some. For you listeners, this is what we do for you. Go and drink, I guess. I don't know.
Responsibly.
Responsibly. Drink responsibly. I'm driving, so I shan't be having any Armenian cognac until I'm home.
Yeah, well, until we get you some. But I had some because obviously living in Russia, it was easier to get hold of. And the stuff I had was good. Okay. So
good to know.
Yeah. Anyway. Apologies to anyone who's teetotal.
Word. That's not Russian, is it?
Sorry.
Prost, or whatever. That's German or something. I don't know.
No idea.
Cheers.
Oh, right, yeah. In Russia, like, the stereotype is that people think that it's Nastorovia, but no one actually says that.
Oh, that's disappointing.
On the other hand, what they do like to do is big, elaborate, long toasts. But it will always be to something, so it's...
Okay, rather than just generic.
Yeah. So sometimes, like, there's some really simple ones, like to happiness, which should be like za shastya, or...
To not finding diamonds. they did find diamonds, of course.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go, we found a diamond of a film, but that kind of undercuts the whole...
Undercuts!
Bit,
that's
episode.
Freaking brilliant.
What?
Undercuts, like, with a... Because diamonds are used for cutting things.
Yes. That was entirely intentional. And I appreciate your response. Thanks. On that note.
Thanks very much, Lynn, for being a guest.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure. And it's always something interesting. Next time, cognac.
Can't make any promises, but I'll do what I can.
Take care, everyone.
Yeah. Dust it down, you folks. Hello again. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Roost Files Unite podcast. If you'd like to get in touch, I'd love to hear from you. There's a couple of different ways you can do that. There's a Roost Files Unite Facebook group you can join. We're on Twitter at RoostFilesU. And you can also email at RoostFilesUnite@gmail.com. If you can spare a couple of minutes to rate us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, that will help other people hear about the show and would be very much appreciated. Thanks again for listening, and goodbye. Just let it